God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. Greed's not good and God's not dead. I don't care what Nietzsche or Ayn Rand said. The blood of every man is red, and I'm not going to war. They justify all the things they do with convoluted logic, and waves still pound upon the sand, and will when they're gone. God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let us take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Greetings und willkommen inst Visibilantis. We're also under the sea. The clock is ticking down towards some kind of transition from a place never properly understood to somewhere presently unknown. Unmanifest blessings are cruising in the ethers, seeking form and precipitation. How clear is the visualized image? That's how clear the resulting item or condition will be. One of the most evil creatures to ever presume power and one of the most corrupt governments ever to be, at least since the last time when they did similar things in the Soviet territories, Janet Butch Napolitano is stepping down from her post as chief public tormentor at Homeland Insecurity. No, she's not taking a new position, say something like reverse cowgirl down on the third level of hell. She's moving into a position tailor-made for her, head stink cheese at the University of California, one of the nation's premier hotbeds of Khmer Rouge political correctness, where she can push and program for certain social agendas that promote the rights of any and all minorities, as long as they are minorities and are oppressed, and they all are, and whose ways and mores are inconsistent with the wishes of a larger public. Of course, all minorities, as I said, are oppressed, unless they are more than equal. One of the perks of being the head of the University of California is easy access to your local chapter of Satanists, and all kinds of runaway children show up there in California. Possibly not at the university unless they're experimenting on them, but anyway. That means the human sacrifice needs are going to be met, and then some. Imagine the thrill for Butch as she strategizes the proliferation of one insane and inane PC policy after another. Is there anywhere in the U.S. that is more pervasively insane than California? Is there any aggregate of municipalities with terminal PC policies strangling the culture and economy in such a steroid-enhanced way? No, there is not. They don't call it La La Land for nothing. We're in DEFCON 4 stage of the elite's Rothschild-funded assault upon humanity and whatever freedoms yet remain. We're in the approach lane to DEFCON 5 in a metaphorical Asian Airlines plane being piloted by video game enthusiasts. It can't end well for them. It's to be hoped they don't take out too many people, but such a huge portion of the population seems determined to take themselves out, so what are you going to do? Tonight we are in the saucer pod, hovering above what appears to be a dark cloud of ignorance. It's hard to make out the details of the topography. I can tell where the cities are, though, because the cloud is much denser and darker, and there is the impression of flames licking about here and there. I don't know what they're feeding on, Possibly they're feeding on the ignorance. I suppose there are many ways to understand things like fate and destiny. Then there's subjective and objective. The less understanding and, well, the greater the ignorance, the wider the pervasiveness of subjectivity. That's the purpose of dumbing down and the corruption of the educational system by PC zombies. Early indoctrination and programming of the populace heightens and amplifies collective subjectivity, manifesting in, of course, subjugation. It's hard to tell what's really going on out there, what the percentage of actual resistance, overt and covert, are. If you go by the crass media reportage, nothing much is happening as the governments and corporations ride roughshod over humanity. The twin pillars of darkness are Zionism and Satanism, with little to tell them apart. One or the other is engaged at some point in most of the evils on this planet. I'm only bringing all this up for one reason. Surely I've brought it up enough times that the point, if point there be, has been made. But it is imperative in my mind to point out that everything which happens down here is for the purpose of demonstration. There's no way that the despicable monsters running rampant through the hills and dales of the moment can endure for any length of time. They are only where they are, doing what they are doing, in order for needs to be written and experienced. All to be written and experienced. When I think about how it is and what is coming, one of any number of permutations of the same thing, I'm put in mind of certain lyrics from a song of mine. We are standing on an endless horizon, facing into the blazing sun, and we have come to Armageddon just to find the battle won. Of course, the only real battle of any concern to any of us is the one going on inside of us. Whatever battles we may imagine we have externally are only projections and a general acting out of the battle raging within us. Should peace within be achieved, you would find that there would be no external conflicts of any kind. They just wouldn't occur. People come into their body of occupation in this life, or the life to come, or the life before, and they bring all the conflicts that are the red-headed stepchildren of their ignorance. Ignorance is a combustible state. It's also an unstable element. If you combine ignorance and rage, you get combustion. If you combine ignorance with any of any number of negative fellow travelers, you will get combustion. This accounts for the combustions taking place in various parts of the world at any given time. In the Middle East, the combination of ignorance and religious insanity has accounted for ongoing massacres, mutilations, and mayhem across time for a good long time. In other parts of the world, the ignorance of the population and lack of control over their inner conflicts makes them the perfect cannon fodder for bankers and corporations that need a whole lot of people killed because they happen to be living on a landscape that sits atop resources coveted by these monsters. Ignorance is a death sentence, and much worse than that. It's an interminable ring of fire that turns and turns and never goes out over a very long period of time. It burns and it radiates pain that also turns and turns and never stops hurting over a very long period of time. Sometimes ignorance is innate, meaning that the person in possession of it has never gotten past the limitations of it at all, ever. Other times it is cultivated so as to make possible all manner of things that an informed intelligence would never permit. I should add a caveat here, and that is that intelligence is not necessarily moral or good. Intellect is a tool, and the quality of it is defined by the intentions and tasks it is applied to. Luminous intelligence is something else. It's capable of things that the kind of intelligence applied in the services of government and corporate life could never match. I used to wonder about all those brainiacs at the universities and the think tanks high up in the military ranks, tripping about in those ridiculous religious get-ups, playing doctor with the allopathic black arts, which has finally rendered nearly all of them into nothing more than prescription mills. And then there are the lawyers whose sole purpose is to subvert, pervert, or get around the law. Justice is of little concern to most of them. The reality is that the structure of society has slowly but surely become twisted beyond recognition into something evil and profane. It gets brought to the surface in 100 different ways. We see it in the epidemic of preachers and pastors being exposed for sexual indiscretions. We see it happening in the military and all through the political system. We see corners being cut at every level of the commercial sector because unless you steal, connive, and deceive, you don't get what everyone else gets. It's all wink and nod land. Everyone knows what's going on. They're deep into it themselves, or they turn their heads. They can well see what happens if they say anything. Unless, of course, you've got heavy protections. Once the corruption has reached a certain point, there's no putting back into any kind of form or shape. It has to run its course. Ergo, it should occur to those still in possession of a reasoning capacity to try to put themselves out of harm's reach if they can. Common sense tells you that it will be worse in certain environments than it will be in others. Common sense also tells you that it will be worse for certain types of people than it will be for others. And simple observation should tell one and all that it's pretty bad for certain people all along. My own situation is unique in certain ways. I get sent to different places for different periods of time with no real explanation as to why and wherefore of any of it. Things happen that I would not have expected to happen, and things I've expected to happen have not happened. There are many who would say, I don't want any part of a life like that. Well, it has its perks. I am a party to conversations I don't think most people have the opportunity to engage in, and things happen to me that are most assuredly supernatural, and that's a perk as far as I'm concerned, although I suspect it would be most undesirable for most people. Some of us are differently constructed is all I can figure. It defines our objectives or appetites and desires. It sets the course and goal of our existence. You often hear that we're all the same underneath, but I don't believe that. Not anymore. I do not think we're all the same by any system of measurement. I accept that there is one self, and I have seen where certain masters have demonstrated the truth of this in their lives. I believe eventually the majority of us come to a place of self-realization, although we may be separated from that experience in time by many millions of years. I do not know that all of us are redeemed. I do not know whether some of us are lost in ways that are permanent. I just don't know. I used to be able to glibly say, we're all one. I don't know that anymore. And I'm not sure I knew it then. I try not to say things I don't believe or accept. You know, things, period, simply because they reflect popular and contemporary wisdom. I believe that what is real will surface in our being if we are unresisting to its presence. I believe that nothing lives in us, uses us for a habitation, which we do not feed with our attention, our fear, or our desire. If you want a clean house, don't feed the inhabitants. The imperishable does not require nourishment from you. Rather, it provides it. And this is what every soul should consider. Invite that which sustains you into your being and evict that which feeds on you. I know that my life is about the ineffable and the effort to come, well, to come into a deeper communion with it, and that for some reason, well, no religion I have yet discovered answers as a vehicle for me. I try to live up to the code of conduct I have set for myself. At the same time, my words and actions don't always meet the standards of others, but that is no pressing concern of mine. It's meeting my own standards that matter, as was mentioned in a recent posting, to thine own self be true. It is when we go contrary to what we claim to be our own standards that we compromise ourselves within our own minds. The one who pays the highest price for hypocrisy is the hypocrite. I know in this world of the moment, the pressure is very high to possess and enjoy the good things of life. That would be if we even knew what those things were. I'm speaking of the main attractions that so many people get after, step all over each other in the pursuit of, and make so many capable of so many detestable acts against one another. It's not the easiest thing to live with, being left out in the cold, simply because you won't compromise. It's not pleasant to be locked out of your artistic medium because you won't bend the knee to those who have taken control of the media. Somehow the hidden powers of existence bring things to whatever level of appreciation is ordained for the one shaping or compromising it. In the interim, one is tested to see if they are disposed to pay the price or cut whatever deal is demanded of one in order to secure entrance behind the velvet ropes. Back there with all the uptown people who have to use deodorant and all kinds of scents and sprays to max mask rather their toxicity and fear. On this long road of existence that actually turns out to be longer than we may have expected it to be, we can be mightily tested and tried to temper our metal and to forge us in the crucible of experience. I've found we need to learn to forgive both ourselves and others too. We need to aspire higher and never give up. We need to believe that we are worthy and strive to be just that, without artifice or pretense. Keeping in mind that the greatest who have walked among us have been as humble as dirt. I am doubtful that anyone listening or speaking here is on a par with those of whom I am speaking. However, the potential to rise to similar status is within us all. Keep in mind that in the ordinary course of affairs, each age that we go through brings possibilities in us that did not exist before, given that we learned the lessons of the previous age we passed through. There are certain extraordinary souls who are blessed with early awakening, but in the main, it is a slow and incremental affair. Keep in mind that the real powers that be are watching closely to see whether you give up or not. This is a critical thing. Pass that test, and you'll be helped at every stage to follow. When your sincerity is put beyond question, then, well, so is your success. Okay, we've come to the end of another broadcast, but that which we are collectively engaged in is not coming to an end, and at some point, some number of us will be engaged in it, each in our own way, in person, I think, shortly. That said, I'll see you next week if there is one, and may the light within that is the constant urge for realization and more powerful and insistent than all of our own efforts, be permitted by us to do what it wants to do and not be sabotaged by our ignorance. That's it. Did I say I'll see you next week if there is one? Well, if not, I just did. Okay. Om Amitabha. Hare Krishna. Welcome, Lord Ganapati Ganesh. Bismillah. Iraming. Irahim. Carry on, Baha'u'llah. May we as well be the beneficiary of the ageless wisdom of the unknown God. Aloha and Aru!
God's not dead, he's merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising. God's not dead, merely hiding. You can see him in the morning when the sun is rising.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.